Hi, everybody. This is The Takeaway. I'm Alana Casanova-Burgess from WNYC Studios, in for Melissa Harris-Perry for a few days. Good to have you with us. We're coming out of a holiday weekend in which the Omicron variant certainly made its presence known. If you had to cancel plans because of a positive test or an exposure to COVID last week, you were not alone. Average daily cases have soared to over 214,000, surpassing a similar spike towards the end of the summer as the Delta variant spread. And we're also starting to get more of a picture of what an Omicron infection looks like. Potentially, it means less of a risk of hospitalization. But that isn't exactly good news, as Dr. Anthony Fauci warned on ABC's This Week yesterday.
If you have many, many, many more people with a less level of severity, that might kind of neutralize the positive effect of having less severity when you have so many more people. And we're particularly worried about those who are in that unvaccinated class, that, you know, tens and tens of millions of Americans who are eligible for vaccination who've not been vaccinated. Those are the most vulnerable ones when you have a virus that is extraordinarily effective in getting to people and infecting them the way Omicron is.
So, an effective virus coupled with a less than stellar vaccination rate. Here with me is Dr. Bhakti Hansoti, an associate professor of emergency medicine and international health at Johns Hopkins University and Bloomberg School of Public Health. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We just heard Dr. Fauci warn against getting complacent about Omicron, since there's data showing that it causes milder illness. So let's start there. What does the data actually show?
So the data is still out there. And the challenge here with Omicron is that the playing field is inherently different, in that there are a larger proportion of individuals who are younger that are being affected by the virus, and that a significant proportion of our patients who are COVID positive have been vaccinated and or boosted as well. So we think that this is a milder virus. This is what we saw in South Africa. But we also know that hospitalizations and, in fact, deaths are now starting to rise as the case numbers rise also.
And what are the symptoms of Omicron? How is it different from, say, Delta, for example?
So it's not significantly different from Delta. I think they're both quite similar. In fact, Omicron presents with runny nose, headache, fatigue, sneezing, and a sore throat. Your classic cold-like symptoms. And that's why many mistake it for the common cold or flu at this time of year. It is a departure from the classic three, right? The ones that we heard about in early March 2020, which were fever, cough, and loss of sensation and smell. And we really are not seeing people say, hey, you know, I can't taste anything anymore. I can't smell anything anymore, which was like the classic symptom that people anchored to early on in the pandemic.
Is it clear whether it's less severe because because people are vaccinated, or could it be that it's less severe, just less severe?
You know, I really honestly think it could be less severe because it's less severe. So as viruses mutate, there is a need for them to become less severe, because when something is less severe, it has a higher likelihood of spreading to other individuals. And so often when viruses continue to evolve and mutate, they become more infectious but less severe. And so I do think it is less severe, but it's not benign. And this was one of the challenges that we had early on in the pandemic, was when we rushed to dismiss COVID as the common cold. And we said it was just mild. It was milder than SARS and certainly milder than Ebola. Yet we've had millions dead around the world. And so I think, similar to Dr. Fauci, you know, yes, it's likely mild. You're less likely to be sick, especially if you're vaccinated, but don't take it lying down, right? This is still an illness of significant concern that is overwhelming our hospital systems.
Right. And we also heard him say he was concerned because only 62% of Americans are fully vaccinated. And as you mentioned, vaccination and also the booster shots are protecting people against this severe illness. So that number, has it budged at all? We've been hearing public officials and the medical community give these dire warnings to the unvaccinated about the risk. I'm wondering if those warnings are landing at all.
So I think they are landing, and there is a small trickle of an increase in vaccination rates. Access is really no longer an issue with a lot of great initiatives countrywide accessing those hard-to-reach populations. However, the vaccine resistance that some individuals have seems to be sticking and is there to stay despite the new variant and the impact that it's having on their lives.
There's also the capacity issue in hospitals. Early in this pandemic, we were talking about flattening the curve to not overwhelm hospital capacity. And now we're nearly 2 years into the pandemic. Where's the capacity at now, especially with Omicron?
So we are completely overwhelmed. I'm an emergency physician who worked during these holidays. Right now, about 65,000 individuals are hospitalized and 15,000 in the ICU. But the CDC forecasts that this burden will be over 100,000 by Jan 1st. And so the challenge that we're having at the hospital is fourfold. One, hospitals have always operated at capacity. You don't ever go into an ER and say, this looks pretty empty right now. On top of that, we have this triple respiratory threat. We have Delta, which was surging as well. We have Omicron, which has now taken over. And then we have seasonal influenza. And influenza A cases in particular are increasing. So early on, and on top of that, we also have the fact that many have left the workforce. Either they were laid off early during the pandemic, or there is burnout or, you know, individual situational needs, such as themselves getting COVID or their loved ones getting COVID, for which they've had to change jobs. So add to all of that, right now, that early on in the pandemic, we had this fight in us. We were, as healthcare workers, we were there all day, all night, ready to don on our PAPRs. There was surge preparedness planning, and everything was thrown at this virus. But 2 years in, I think there's fatigue. There's a lack of resources available. We don't have the manpower to do the same all hands on deck responses. And those elective surgeries that we used to cancel for short periods to create some space to care for our patients, that is no longer a feasible option.
So what was it like this weekend where you were?
So it was busy and it felt heavy. Honestly, you know, I'd got to that stage where, you know, I felt okay going to work, just wearing my surgical mask and then putting on my full PPE when there's someone that's COVID positive. But what happened recently was that everybody was COVID positive. And now I also have the knowledge that despite being vaccinated and boosted, I can very well bring this virus back to my one-year-old and four-year-old who are unvaccinated. And so putting on that PAPR, tying the battery pack to my waist, putting on that hood, it felt heavy and I felt really tired.
I'm sorry. I know a lot of people had to cancel their holiday plans because they tested positive or maybe they had a high enough risk from being exposed to COVID, but certainly not everyone canceled their plans. And I wonder when we might start to see evidence of a post-Christmas spike and what that might look like.
Absolutely. So we're already seeing that post-Christmas spike, but I think in the next 5 days, we'll likely see significant surges, both in the number of COVID positives, but also the number that are hospitalized.
Is there anywhere else in the world that we could be looking to see when this Omicron wave might end? I'm thinking maybe of South Africa, which is where Omicron was first identified, although not where it first originated. There's been some news in the last few days, I think, about waves of infections in that country.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can look across to South Africa, but a better comparison are our colleagues across the pond in England. So in England, we have seen that cases have doubled every 2.5 days, and that now there seem to be some evidence of a peak that's going to hopefully improve. So I would watch England. Similar with Delta, England surged first, and then the US was sure to follow. So let's keep an eye on our colleagues across the pond.
And what other patterns are you noticing in the United States? Which states or which part of the country could be potentially hit hardest?
So I think it's hard to say, right? I think right now what we're seeing is that this is extremely, extremely transmissible and spreading very fast. So I personally think that we're going to see, you know, if you look at the New York Times map, the whole country going red. We're also seeing reinfection with symptoms and hospitalization. So it's really not sparing anybody. Obviously, areas of the country that have lower vaccination rates, rural areas, areas with lower healthcare resources, that is where we're going to see the increases in death and hospitals declaring that they have no longer got capacity to manage patients and announcing a disaster declaration.
Dr. Bhakti Hansoti is Associate Professor of Emergency Medicine and International Health at Johns Hopkins University and Bloomberg School of Public Health. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so now a little transparency here from the Takeaway team. Sikhan Akpan is health and science editor for the WNYC newsroom, and he was on the show last week to talk about the latest on the Omicron wave. And he was booked to give us an update today as well, but then over the weekend, he tested positive for COVID. So we tried to let him rest, but we also wanted to hear how he's doing. Hi, Sikhan, how has it been?
Hey, how's it going? I'm feeling much better today.
When did you test positive?
So I tested positive on Sunday around 7 a.m. on an Abbott rapid test. It was about 3 hours before I was supposed to travel cross country from New York City to California. One thing about these tests is that, you know, some antigen brands are just a single test, while others, like the Abbott, call for taking two tests over consecutive days in order to maximize accuracy.
And so these are like the at-home tests, right?
Yeah, these are the at-home tests. Yeah, sorry, just to clarify. So my experience speaks to that. You know, I tested negative Saturday morning, and then, you know, on the second test in my kit, I tested positive about 24 hours later on Sunday morning. My symptoms escalated really fast. You know, I went from having no fever when I woke up to about 102 mm-hmm. to 2 degrees in about 3 hours. You know, and aside from runny nose and wet cough, those early hours felt sort of like someone was occasionally stepping on my chest, like just below my collarbone. Like the chest congestion was like pretty intense, especially whenever I coughed. I also had a lot of aches in my upper back. But, you know, despite all of that, you know, I'm very much considered a mild case.
That doesn't sound so mild. So are you feeling any better now? Same?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better now. You know, my fever broke this morning. I'm still a little achy. I'm eating chicken noodle soup for breakfast, which is not my normal, although I do really love chicken noodle soup. You know, while my symptoms were worsening, I messaged a doctor on Twitter that I sometimes interview for COVID stories to ask them, you know, do you think people are underestimating just how bad mild cases can feel? And, you know, they said, you know, think about the worst cold you've ever had, and then about 10% of the time, a truck hits you on your way to Duane Reade to get medicine. So, you know, I think I was lucky in that, you know, I'm fully vaccinated and also boosted. But it, you know, my symptoms were really laid me out, and like I really feel for anybody who is catching this right now.
Well, Sikhan Akpan is health and science editor for the WNYC newsroom, enjoying chicken soup this morning and hopefully on the mend from COVID. Thank you so much.
Thank you.